I need a motion to come out of executive session and return to open session.
So moved, Will Canoe.
Second, Adele Jones.
Motion made by Mr. Canoe, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Good afternoon and welcome to the December 13th, 2023 board meeting. I called the meeting to order at 4 o'clock and received a motion to go into executive session by Ms. Jones, and it was seconded by Mr. Johnson. Before we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Before we approve the agenda, I need to take a roll call. Mr. Johnson.
Here.
Ms. Wise.
Here.
Dr. Master.
Here.
Mr. Hayes. Absent. Ms. Jones.
Here.
Gary Brittingham here. Mr. Canoodle.
Here.
Need a motion for the approval of the agenda.
So moved, Dr. Maston.
Second, Adele Jones.
Motion made by Dr. Maston, seconded by Adele Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of the regular and executive minutes from the November 8th, 2023 board meeting.
So moved, Dr. Maston.
Second.
Motion made by Dr. Maston, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Now we'll move to the superintendent's report.
Thank you. Good evening. Happy holidays. Hope everybody enjoys the holiday season. Thank you for being here. Did we motion to come out of executive in the open?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. First, under superintendent's report, monthly financials, Mrs. Hatfield.
Tonight, I'm going to present the monthly financials as of November 30th. At this point in the year, we are 41.7% of the fiscal year complete and 38.5% of payrolls complete. On the tax collections report, our November tax receipts were $663,970, which brought our year-to-date total tax receipts to $11,540,110. At this point, we have received 97.2% of our anticipated tax receipts, and compared to last year, we were at 97.1%. So again, this month, we're right in line with where we were last year. Next is the revenue report, which is already been approved, so we will move on to the cost center. Again, keep in mind we're at 41.7% of the fiscal year complete and 38.5% of the payroll is complete. Our local salary line looks good. Our payroll expenditure percentage on our salary line is only 33.9%, which is well below our percentage for the year. So we're looking very good on salary. Again, like I've said in the prior months, you know, there's a few areas that are a little bit over. But if you look at the second page, second to the last column, our overall expenditure percentage is only 38.1, which is well below the expenditure percentage of 41.7% for the year. So we're looking really good on our expenditures. And on ESSER 3, for the ESSER summary, in the mental health category, we had payroll costs for our mental health counselors. And on the TSC project, we have purchased portable pipe threading machines. And that was the only activity in ESSER 3. And that's all I have. If anyone has any questions?
Just a thank you, Ms. Hamill. Just a couple things for the board's awareness. December is a prepay month. So on one hand, that's a yahoo. On the other hand, if you're paying in, it's an uh-oh. And so we'll We'll be making 3 payroll payments during December. And if we haven't said it, or if you ever wondered, our average payroll every 2 weeks is about $265,000. Okay. So numbers roll up, and it's what it is. So you multiply that average by 3, that's what we're going to be spending in December along the way. That's why cash flow is important, carryovers, and all those things. Mrs. Hatfield does a great job managing everything. So. Any questions for Mrs. Hatfield? We'll move to the December is the time of the year when we bring you the final budget for the year. And that will make some adjustments. And, I'm thinking if the board approves final, we'll do that for January's board meeting and back on January.
Yes, so when once they approve this tonight, that'll be in the passage in January.
So we get a final budget based upon final enrollment, unit count determination. Dollars, appropriations, what we think we're going to receive, and then we get to make adjustments as we do every year. And so, just have to, if you'd like to go over those budgets, please.
So, as some person said, what you have in your packet that I just went over was the preliminary revenue budget, which was approved last spring. And that's basically what we think we're going to receive. This time of year is when we do the final budgets, because once the September 30th unit count is finalized in November, we can start working on our final budgets, because we know exactly then what our units are and what we're going to receive. Our enrollment increased this year from 1,292 to 1,323, which increased our units from 101.05 to 104.19. That in turn means extra revenue. So based on our state approved units for FY24, our Division II energy units increased to 187.59, equating to an increase in energy funds, or 00159. In our Division II and Division III academic excellence units, it increased to 5.29. And our Division II all other costs increased to 127.5. And that increases our revenue for those state appropriations, 05165 and 05265. Our Division III equalization increased to 104.19. And our Division III reading cadre, visiting teacher, related services increased to 5.10. And that's for our 05186 appropriation. In the other state appropriations, these are the actual amounts that we're to receive. The technology block grant allocation for this year is $34,148. Our Ed sustainment is $255,158. And our opportunity funds this year increased about $138,000. It went up to $300,931. And our school safety and security funds increased a little over $8,000 for a total allocation of $90,556. Under the current expense and other, these are our local appropriations, and the anticipated lines are what we think our carryover amount's going to be, or what we think we're going to receive in local revenue, I'm sorry. And the balance forward lines are the actuals from the July 1 carryover. And on the next page, the balance forward accounts show our current balances. Our balance forward accounts on the next page is what we think our balances are going to be at 6/30/24 to start the new school year for FY25. And then our set-aside accounts show our current balances in the first column as of 11/1/23. And those numbers there reflect the adjustments that we made that the board approved on the preliminary budget. And in the second column, those are the adjustments we would like to make for our set-asides after the final budget's approved. And in the third column, it shows what our net balances would be after those adjustments are made. So these set-aside accounts are used for one-time purchases, things that aren't part of the normal operating budget each year. So after those set-aside adjustments are made, our total expendable operating budget, as you can see at the bottom of the revenue report, would be $12,649,578. So, with that being said, we can move on to the cost center budget, the final cost center. And there are a few areas in our cost center that Dr. Carson and I had talked about and looked at to see where we'd like to possibly make some adjustments. We wanted to increase the tuition reimbursement to $140,000, which was an increase of $42,000. We wanted to increase the athletics budget to $269,098, which is an increase of $44,000. We wanted to increase the technology maintenance to $235,000, which is an increase of $10,000. We wanted to increase utilities to $748,600, which is an increase of $50,000. And we wanted to decrease security to $158,000, which was a decrease of $10,000, and then an increase in our SRO line of $10,000. So that's pretty much a wash in the safety and security line. But we basically did that because our SRO costs came in a little bit more than we had originally budgeted for. So to get that little negative out of there, we wanted to move some money around the budgets. And some of the idea behind this, like in the athletics, the transportation costs for athletics and officials, you know, they've really gone up this year. And, well, they've been creeping up, but, you know, everybody's getting paid more and, you know, so the costs are really going high. But if you notice, at the bottom of the call center budget, it equals the total expendable operating budget on the revenue budget. So,
with the falling gas prices, affect our transportation cost?
Well, the state transportation office does fuel adjustments every so often.
January and July. So.
And it went up, right?
So it's actually the summary, they started at the end of December, January, February, March, and April are potential adjustments. Diesel costs are going up. So we're actually just informed today, diesel buses will be adjusted 11 cents additional per mile. So,
but the pump prices are really going down.
Not diesel. Interesting. Yeah, gasoline is, but diesel is not. So if you have a gasoline bus, you lose a penny per mile. If you have a diesel bus, you get 11 cents more per mile.
Interesting. How come the, on the first page of discretionary revenue, why our units go down? No, we went from 129.5, these two, from last year to this year.
Okay, that's the cost center.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the
Come back. Here. This is last year's. Okay.
Mm-hmm. This is a preliminary.
Right. 129.6, and yet this year it's 127.5, both of them.
Well, on the preliminary, this is what we thought it would be.
Okay, this is
okay.
What it actually turned out
That's
to be.
What it actually turned out to be.
Okay.
But that is still more than what it actually was last year.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
But when we thought about it this year, we thought it might be that, but it's not.
And then the other thing that I noticed, the technology match. You know, zero here, and yet this technology match here was 52,000 last year. What happened there?
Well, these are what we think our balances are going to be at June 30. So this is just like our best guess.
Okay.
Now, we have had quite a bit of extra expenses in our technology match for things that we're getting, like these MDM renewals for our iPads, that is coming out of that technology budget. Okay. So there are more costs coming out of there than used to be. So we wanted to be conservative and play it safe and put a zero there.
Okay.
That way, anything that was left in there is to our advantage, mm-hmm. to our benefit.
And the increase in athletics, why do we need to increase athletics?
Because I said transportation costs are really, really high.
Is that the only reason?
No.
Officials
are really going high. DIAA, I think this year they gave a big increase to officials.
They didn't have a choice. They're
not going to come, and then you can't have a game. And then also, more police coverage.
And do we pay for that? Do we pay for state troopers?
Comes out of athletics. Their budget.
So the police give us a bill for extra troopers? Interesting. You think that'd be part of their commitment?
Well, they gotta get paid for their time as well.
Oh yeah, no question. Yeah. As an aside, my son-in-law went to the Milford Middle School basketball game last week, and the yelling of the fans, arguing with referees, fans, players, coaches, he thought was unacceptable and unbelievable. And I talked to the principal of the middle school, and she said yes, that their assistant principal had been to that game and felt the same thing. So I don't know, we're not going to be able to get officials unless we get this under control. And I don't know, if there's anything we can do or not, but it's a problem. Wow. And of course, you saw the video, I'm sure, of the fourth grade basketball game where the officials got in the fight.
Yeah.
I don't know what we can do about any of this. But,
I try not to see that. I can tell you that we put an expectation, we say an expectation of decorum at each of the games in terms of players playing, officials officiate, enjoy yourself while you're here, but the game is the game. And I think I almost hate to say it, but I think the management of the game by the staff that we have and bigger games, we have police presence and SRO Petrella, and we have evening security and other folks around. I think you make a decorum statement from when people arrive until when they leave.
Yes. And who's in charge of kicking somebody out if their behavior of hand is not acceptable?
It's usually the game manager that's responsible for that. It's usually a school official. And if they need assistance from law enforcement in order to make that happen, it usually happens. Mm-hmm. Pretty quick.
The security line item, what is included in that? You took 10 grand out of that and gave it to the SRO. What is the security line item? What's included in that?
It's mostly supplies and things that the constables need. So some of their uniforms or ammunition or just any kind of supplies that the constables
training
need. Or if they're training, like if they have a registration to go somewhere or take training, because they also have to qualify with their gun, so they have to go to that, and there's costs involved with that. So
you know, there are quite a few costs.
And then the SRO line itself is what?
That is just strictly for the SRO, our payment to the SRO. What we do is the SRO, we have a contractual agreement with the Delaware State Police, and we do a MOU, and this year it's whatever that amount is on there. Like, that'll be the only cost for this year. So we did a purchase order for the amount that the Delaware State Police sends us. But we don't find out that amount until the summer. Well, this preliminary budget was done in May before we knew that amount. So that's why we were a little off.
Two other things that I would call to the board's attention. In the set-aside accounts, under maintenance, we continue to make a recommendation to put revenue into the maintenance set-aside account. Mr. Athey and his team are doing a good job of trying to keep the building together until a new one comes up. But it's a unit here and a unit there, and it's going to be an interesting 3 or 4 years getting through that process. Plus, potential dollars available, local dollars available for major capital projects. Then I wanted to, we're more fully funding the technology replacement program, and it's actually a much lower number. I think we were at, a couple of years ago, I think we were at $137,000 as a potential for the iPad replacement program. So we're carrying little damage and vandalism with that, but we have a set-aside account for that. Part of the reason for the bump in the technology budget was the annualized purchase of iPads for the incoming ninth grade. We've been able to use ESSER funds up until now. ESSER's going to go away next year, and so again, we're ramping up local support of that. Grateful for the federal dollars, but yeah, we're going to have to own that process on our own, and we'll be prepared to do so. And then, fortunately, we've set up a legal set-aside account because on occasion there is a legal settlement involving a legal matter affecting the district. And rather than have that knock budget sideways, that we have an account that's set up for that. It doesn't mean that we hope or choose to spend that at all, but that it's available in the event that the final outcome requires a payment. So I think we had shared that with the board earlier that we were going to be setting up that account. Questions? Thank you, Mrs. Tappan.
Thank you.
The final FY24 adult education budget, Mrs. Whaley, and you got some staff members with you. The voting.
Back in June, we did the preliminary budget, and what happens every year for adult ed, we have to write our grants, which includes a budget, so we ask for so much money, and then so now in the final is what we actually got. So looking at the state funds, everything stayed the same, except that we got a little less in state AVE, $2,800 less, but then when you go to the federal, for EVE, we got $76,785 more than we had asked for, so that was fine for the state. Then ILSE, we got $19,860 more than we had asked for. And then with Perkins, we've still not been gotten the money, but we've been awarded $11,959 more. And then for youth apprenticeship, we got $5,000 more than what we had asked for originally, so for a total of $113,604 more for the federal side. Then you look at the local funds.
Before you go on, I'm sorry, could you explain what ABE means and ILSE?
Thank you.
That's my question. ABE is adult basic education. Those are students that come in that test, either test below the ninth grade level, and they need to take some classes and get their skills up so that they can take the high school classes, or they're students that come in with a GED. So they work through AP classes until they're ready to go take their GED test. LC is primarily ESL students that have a high school diploma in their home country, and they're taking English classes with us, and then they also enroll in like welding or home health aid. We had plumbers this year, and actually intro to dental. So we keep adding items to that menu for those students that, they like I said, they have a diploma in their home country, and we offer language support with the trades classes.
Do you think the reduction on stateside ABE is attached to the state knowing that there's an increase coming in federal ABE?
I don't know, because they gave us, you know, $76,000 more, which we certainly need with all of our ESL students. We could use some more, but
that was on the federal side, correct? But I thought I heard you say there was a reduction in state ABE.
Yeah, from what we had asked for, we got $2,800 less. But then we got way more in the federal side.
And the ABE task force recommendation is that they give us like a one-time fund increase to get rid of the wait lists in the state. So this would be us and Polytech have the largest wait lists.
Thank you.
Hopefully that'll happen.
So then the local, that all the local accounts pretty much stay the same. That's just the best guess of how much we're projected to collect for this year. And the next one is the expenditures. So the personnel costs and travel, everything here, that's a combination of all the accounts, the state, federal, and local all together, and a combination of everything that we've expended so far. So when you look at how much the percent of the fiscal year that's been completed, you know, we're pretty much right on target of where we need to be for the end of the year. Any questions?
Why is there such a difference between the personnel costs expended, $937,000, and then the balance of $1,366,000? In other words, if I add those two together, you know, the $1,000,000 and the $1.3 million, I see you come up about 2.4, and your budget is 2.3, so you're close.
That should match the same. That should be whatever we've expended. That should be the balance.
Well, the balance is on the right then, right?
Yes.
So the expended was 937, but then the balance.
That's what we have left to spend
from
now to the end of the school year.
Right. So if you add those two figures expended in the balance, you should come up with roughly your budget, correct?
Yes.
And do we?
Should.
Yep.
Good. Good. Okay. Very good.
And the reason that it's lower is that we're only at 41% of the year for this report. As of the end of November, probably.
Yeah, the end of November.
Right. Any questions for Riley or DJ? Thank you very much. You're certainly welcome to stay all night. The district purchase orders and vouchers for your consideration tonight. We have $38,000 for plasma tables through the TSCPP grant, which is the $266,000 grant we received last spring. We have a Jesco compact excavator being purchased off of state contract, Perkins, again, that's adding into our heavy equipment arsenal for folks.
Public Studios. The spring adult ed brochures to Gannett Media purchasing, being paid for again from Youth Apprenticeship Learning for Careers and the training program. There's a copy of the spring edition of the brochure. This gentleman's one of our graduates down there. Got a great big smile on face about the CMA program. That's a good thing. For instructional supplies for Cisco, and this is one of those trust things because I really don't understand what Mr. Hall is purchasing. Mag Cora Liquid 240R V2 something along the way, but Ed tells me that he needs it for the Cisco program. Mr. Bogger agreed, and so here we are with that. The propane burnisher for the maintenance department is being paid for out of maintenance set aside. We talked about maintenance set aside budget. We have a grouping of desks remaining in the high school that were the old technology roller desks made out of wood and formica that have don't owe us anything and have seen their lifespan. A couple of years ago, the board approved a purchase of sled desks for the schools that matched the previous purchase of sled desks, and we're recommending to replace the roller desks with a continuation of the sled desks, which we intend to take with us to the new school. We had conversation with the most of these desks are in Spanish classrooms and some English classrooms also. And the idea was just to be able to create pods, and the movement of them will, when casters get worn out and other things, the sled desks are going to be a better arrangement for our teachers in the classrooms. I'm sure they'll be appreciated. Phase two of the major capital project included the civil work for the renovations, the heavy equipment building across the street, the expansion of the current auto tech building, the changeover of the body shop program along the way. We've gone direct with Davis Building and Friedel. This was a contract number that was put together last August that had never been actuated with ABHA. They had gone ahead and done the work on this, and so we wanted to get an agreement in play, and we wanted to get a purchase order approved for that amount out of the new high school money. It allows Davis and Bowen and Friedel to get paid for work that they've done as part of the project. And then finally, a purchase order to Info Solutions for a wireless system upgrade, and this is being paid for a technology set aside. Here's the simplest way for me to explain it, is that we have three primary router systems in the building that when students come into the school, we have 1,300 students with iPads, and that when they open that up in the morning, the iPad connects to the closest possible router within the building itself. Then there's a class change, and the student goes from Mr. Stow down in carpentry and comes up here to Mr. Kirtley in English, and because the router, the iPad is connected to the router, it pulls the signal from the original router all the way up to this end of the building and weakens the system to be able to do that. So think about that in terms of all of our students matching up to three routers. So the tech department came and said, what would you think about going from three routers to one router, and we'll get more horsepower and we won't have this signal dropping in order to be able to do that. And I said, I think that's a pretty awesome idea. And they put together the package to do that. It is on contract, $64,523. And that's a really long story to say that we'll be able to maintain our signal integrity
without messing things up for the tech department. It'll be better for students, it'll be better for teachers, it'll be better for everyone in the building who hooks up to, they tell me it's some monster router. So that's
and
great.
Is this something we can take to the new building, but it'll probably be out of date? it's not out of date.
My answer would be the same. If it's current usable, we
right,
plan to
right,
take it.
Okay.
My suspicion is...
It's right. Yeah, it's going to be out of date, I guess.
It's going to end up in Delaware City. That's the way things are moving along. Any questions on purchase orders or vouchers? Thank you. First reading on a branding policy. This is Derrickson has put together for first reading. We have three policies for you tonight. Yes, we're having a workshop meeting in January to go over policies, I think it's January 24th. These are three policies for first reading this evening, which means you don't have to take action. It's an introduction of these policies. Purpose of the branding policy, clearly defined roles and standards for communicating consistent brand, which is necessary for successful recruitment, outreach, and marketing. Rather than having multiple logos, multiple programs, Gina has, I think, done a good job with putting together the logo features. We've actually taken the tech logo, that booger right there, and we've also been able to apply it to technical spaces. Adult education has used it, maintenance has used it, Sussex Tech, Collision Services, Carpentry, all of those have been in there. Club and extracurricular logos, athletic program logos, staff, constable, development for use for the Alumni Association also. What you can do with the logos, what you can't. Very specific about what colors can be used. Pantone, Cool Gray, 4C, and you know, again, it all comes down to consistency of application as we move forward.
How about the athletic logos as it pertains to their gear? I know specifically baseball, softball, football change their logos quite often.
Yeah.
Some of them year to year, as I understand it, the seniors come up with the idea and for their senior year they get that logo.
Is this
preventing them from doing that?
I don't know if it'll prevent them from doing it, but we would like to have a consistency in terms of football helmets. I think we've had three different logos in three different years, and we've had a conversation with Athletic Director Quillen about having something that is consistent from a logo standpoint. Athletics is probably the area where we have the greatest variation in terms of what the logos would be based upon the teams. I think that's something that we need to think about. Also in terms of fundraising, we have, online fundraisers to purchase a sweatshirt, to purchase a t-shirt, and other things. And some of those are using old logos because they haven't been updated. And one of Mrs. Derrickson's jobs is to make sure that we're consistent terms of what we say is our logo and how we're going forward. So, Mr. Canola, I think the biggest adjustment is going to be in the athletic department, and between now and second reading, we'll have an answer for you. It's a good question.
Is she going to be responsible for reviewing and all be all, giving approval, granting approval?
There was... and the top of one, two, three, the third page, altering a logo in any way or created for a club program must request approval from the Sussex Tech High School principal. Congratulations, as a
Gina does a good job of
reminding us, though, that is where she sees them.
She's looking over the shoulder.
She is.
From a consistency standpoint. So this will come back to you. Being introduced tonight for first reading. Good point. Second policy, Dr. Peel is going to speak to regarding appropriate relationships with students. Dr. Peel.
So House Bill 291, which was passed in this past legislative session, requires us to have a policy of this type. I think, really lays out what we have talked about and said and practiced and known as educators for years, but never really had maybe specifically written down. So, for example, on the second page, number 3, talks about grooming behaviors. We know it's bad that someone would groom a young student, but it was never really written out in the paragraph on what that is. The same for the next page, like physical contact with students, and also right above that, I'm sorry, one-on-one meetings with students. Or meeting alone, to the idea that the dorms, here it is all written out. The state of Delaware gave us a model policy, took that policy, reviewed with our attorney, and made some adjustments, some slight adjustments.
Again, being introduced for first reading for you to peruse and to go through. Legislated. We have a model policy. We'll make some adaptions along the way, but there's parameters around what we need to be able to do regarding this policy. And I think this would probably be a good time for me to inject for the record also. Mr. Hayes did send a communication to Mr. Brittingham and myself regarding this particular policy, because his statement is that he feels that board members should also be included and prohibited from student communications unless in their official duties as a board member. That should be part of the, in his opinion, should be part of the record. Would also restrict board member communications with students to district-issued devices. We can have a discussion with Mr. Hayes about his intent with that. And then he had to ask a very good question about school branding and school logos. And as I've responded, said back to him, it's been a question on the table for years. You know, you walk into your local Walgreens and you see Milford School District sweatshirts on the rack in the Walgreens, and the question is, who's making the dollar off of the, and do they have the right to use that likeness and logo and image, and is it protected? Should it be protected from a logo standpoint legally in order to not have a private enterprise take advantage of the situation? So those were two comments from Mr. Hayes.
So what's that mean? Is it a copyright?
Trademark?
Yeah.
Maybe the aspect of it. It was on the table with DIAA years ago regarding school logos and media companies using school logos in order to promote things. Also, nothing came of it that I'm aware of. It came through from a directive standpoint, but I think this is one of those issues where, again, we have Morris James, our attorney, represents, I think it's 16 or 17 of the 19 districts, and I don't know that we need to have, if we feel, and you feel as a board, that it's an important matter about protecting the logo and other school board. It might be a question of school boards also, Adele, when you have your conversation all, but, you know, we'd sooner throw in with a uniform policy, that's a better word for that, a consistent policy that goes statewide, and, you know, if we're going to go that direction. But those are the two comments that Mr. Hayes made regarding the policy that Dr. Peel just spoke of, and also about the protection. Any other questions for Dr. Peel regarding GBE, DBA, relations with students? And then the second one that he's going to speak regarding is the Title IX policy.
GBAAB. Title IX, I believe, was first legislated back in the 70s. It was revised in 2020. We are required to have a policy of this type. Currently, we do have a harassment policy, but it is not. We have to have a separate one for Title IX that also outlines grievance policies that are influenced with the federal legislation. And Title IX is, again, particularly pertaining to sexual harassment, and that involves governs both students and students.
So this is a little bit of house cleaning also in terms of things that should be in our board policy and document.
Most districts updated their policy in 2020. So we have the same, this policy is the same that is throughout the state that was written by the legal counsel. So I probably have a council.
So the bathrooms come under this category? So labeling of bathrooms?
That's a good question. I don't think that it does. I think that would be a separate policy.
I think you're correct.
This is the harassment.
Thank you, Dr. Peel. Mr. Athey, construction update, condition of the physical plant, and anything else?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's all good. So, we basically have a summary of what we've been presenting. So, instead of running down each line item, just give you some of the highlights of the updates. With our water agreement, we finally got the draft language set down, so they are looking at executing final documents there. So that's very good news for us. Still in limbo a little bit with sewer. We know someone will take that over. We just aren't sure if it's Town of Georgetown or Artesian through the Town of Georgetown. So either way, it's all good. Down to the layout design. So we've had all additional advisory group and CTE and area feedback, and we submitted that up to the design team. And on 12-1, we actually went up to Wilmington and had further discussions, went through most of the first floor, space by space. And I'm very glad to say that within a day or two, all those changes have been reflected. We've gone over them again this week, and everything's been incorporated thus far. Again, especially designing a facility of this size with all the different areas, there's always give and take. There's no pure ideal, but you know, everything is do the best you can for everybody involved, and especially the students. Also with the program and room needs, as far as layout and equipment, we've given them a lot of feedback from our instructors, but then the design team will actually end up coming down and do physical audits of current equipment, talk to teachers about future needs or replacement needs so that they can have a spreadsheet of that instead of relying solely on the teachers doing, one, all that legwork up front, but also our instructors are very good at what they do, but they don't always necessarily know all of the different options for equipment that is out there. So the design team will be tasked with doing that. And of course, down to building materials, that 12-1 meeting again, reviewed progress with that. A lot of good things coming down the pike, working on some additional renderings so that we can see the updated exteriors. And some of those interiors, we'll be able to post some more updates for the staff, for the board, you know, and everyone involved. So trying to be brief this evening, but any questions? I'd be more than happy to entertain.
Well, there's some issue at the last board meeting, and I don't even remember all the AB, whatever the design firm was, and it seemed that there was some question whether they were addressing some issues as quickly as what we thought they should, or whether there should be a new design team or something. Does anybody remember anything about that, what was done?
The we have been concerned about responsiveness of the design team as it had been put together since the beginning of the project. Project leadership and direction. We had requested of the board consideration of posting for a different architect and engineering team for phase two. We also carried with that a request to the current team to shuffle some personnel and to appoint a new project manager and assistants. The project that request was honored. Changes were made. Personnel were changed, and as Mr. Athey has said, our experience since that change in direction has been, in our opinion, positive for the project. The team been responsive. What we asked for, we've been receiving. We have another building planning team meeting next Tuesday, the 19th. We anticipate having documents for the building team available this Friday and being sent to the building team so that they can respond and ask questions in a meaningful way on Tuesday. And so the course correction has had an impact, and we think in a good way. We're also having some conversation about the best way to approach phase two, and whether we truly want to bring in another group and start from square one, regarding where we spoke about renovation and heavy equipment and across the street, or the possibility I may reverse my recommendation come January if the product continues to be good and we're able to stay on track. The process of selecting a new architect team and interview, as you know, is months, and we're scheduled to go to bid at the end of May. So if the right people are at the table and doing the right job and I don't have to orient somebody new, I may come back to the board and say I want to continue with the current team as long as their performance maintains the standard that we expect. One of those hard decisions, one of those recommendations that we think needed to be made, and it was made, and the response has continued. So we're early in. You know, we're a month into this, and we will schedule another board presentation after the first of the year, so that you know exactly where we are and what the discussions have been that don't carry with it, you know, final approvals or those things, but an update meeting for the full board and presented by the team. So that, we're encouraged by what's happened so far. It's the reason when I, as an example, when I presented earlier under payment vouchers and others, that there was a separate contract with DBF to pay that for work that had been committed. DBF's contract had sat on the table since August, not on our table. That's unacceptable. So we have professional services that are being performed, no contract signed. So we've initiated a process whereby the people who are doing work for us are being compensated. There was an understanding developed, no hard feelings in that regard. And the AE team understands that we're going direct with the civil engineer on the project. All good with that. So.
Okay, good.
There's an update for you.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Anthony.
Have a safe and merry holiday season.
Same to you.
Mr. Bogger, high school report.
They say the weather in March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb, I think, for school systems October, November, or kind of that month. And we kind of hope to hopefully go out like a lamb in December. So, as you can see from the board report, we started the month of November. The district team and high school team that attended the TSCPP Career Pathways Project meeting at Polytech. It was a great opportunity for us to work together with other tech schools across the state and see what they're doing and see how this can be used in an effective manner. During that same time frame, we had our first period marking period grades posted end of the first quarter of the school year. In that same November time frame, we had both the advisory committee night event that was very well attended, and our open house, which was the largest that we've had. Later on, you'll see in the board report some of the numbers that the number of people we had, over 1,000 people attended our open house. And our numbers right now for our students who have put in to come to Tech are above 700. So I think it was 711 as the date of the report. And last year at that same time frame, we had 594 applicants. So place to at least apply for at this point. So, November 20th, we saw our Pathways program host one of our graduates who's a West Point student at this time frame, and over 100 of our students attended that. We had some dignitaries also come in and attend that from the state level. It was a great opportunity for our kids to look at an opportunity maybe to go to one of the academies and how you go that process. And she did that for her own personal drive, but she also did it for our kids here so they see a great place to go to school. We hosted a legislative breakfast on the 29th, and our play Cheaper by the Dozen was almost a sellout. I think actually I lost my seat about halfway through the first performance. I got up for a few seconds to get a stand, and then somebody else slid into my seat to get standing room only at both evenings. So it was we also, at the beginning of December, we recognized our honor roll students, where we had 420 students on our honor roll for the first semester. We do have some struggles, to be honest with you, with some of our ninth graders who are still recovering from COVID and need to understand that there are some expectations here in Tech, and that means that we are working through that too as well. We had some great student opportunities here, some great student activities. Multiplying Good, which is one of our service organizations. Again, you can read through about four or five of their things that they ended up doing, including a book drive that they work with. They also work with our SPCA, local organization, and do a couple of activities. They happen to do this for Cat Toys in this month. They also do stockings for soldiers, which is a pretty incredible event that they really do enjoy. And there's a lot of activity involved with our students during that time frame. Criminal Justice had a couple of different activities. We actually just had a mock trial that we finished with that group. That's actually not listed here, but we had several of those students that ended up receiving their Delaware security guard licensing, and they're actually able to be a security guard while they're still in high school, so they've been taking care of that responsibility. And there's a large number of students you can see by the list there. Those are the names that are there. I talked a few seconds ago about our Pathways to Success presentation. Charnay Harmon came in, and she's a graduate from Tech in 2020, and she also attended the Military Academy. A couple of our greatest thing, I think, in the month kind of happened with at the end of October, the beginning of November, which was our Haunted Hallways. This is an idea that came out, and it's actually going to expand next year. It was a proposal to really take this and expand it almost as a community event on the weekend. We'll see where that goes. But what it was our CTE areas were able to put together haunted hallways related to their Tech areas. They actually created some integration projects together, which they didn't even know at the time. We'll talk about integration in just a second. But our other students got to walk through the CTE areas, and it was just an incredible
think to see it was related to Halloween, but also whether our students were able to grade. It was pretty awesome. Some staff news, Charlie Hoard, our HVAC teacher, was recognized out of 1,000 nominations by a company called ESCO, the Energy Service Company, or their institute. He was named one of the top 25 influential HVACR teachers in the state of Delaware. So, I'm sorry, in the country, I apologize. It was given to him by Excellence in True Tech Tools, is the sponsor. Our fall sports, you see a ton of our students winning on the honors level there. And we're very proud of their academic work, and they are really the student athletes that we want them to be. Results there. One of the most exciting things coming up is our integration project. We actually, at one of our staff meetings, presented this, opened it up for discussion with our staff members, talked about the connection to the strategic plan and where we're going with this. We actually met again today for the second time with our academy coaches to design what that's going to look like, kind of make sure that they were comfortable with it. We actually are meeting with them independently as an administrative staff, and we've divided our staff into these different academies or clusters, if you want to call them either one of those terms. We're looking for them to really start brainstorming what those projects will look like on January 10th, and then January 26th is when they'll finalize some of their proposals on a professional development. Peer walkthroughs, we began this. This is actually something that Dr. Donovan created last year. So we have sets of teachers that go out. Usually it's 4 to 6 of our teachers go out and see other teachers teach. As of the date of this document, we ended up completing 6 sessions of peer walkthroughs, where 4 to 6 of our teachers would go out and see 4 different teachers during a period. And we come back and talk about what we saw. So it's targeted professional development. It's a great opportunity for our teachers to see each other. Administrative walkthroughs as of December 5th, we completed a short walkthrough, 189 of those. There are 10 to 15 minute sessions that we go in and we give teachers direct feedback from. And then one of their biggest focuses right now is our SAT focus, which we are starting. And our academy coaches gave our data from last year and working as a school to develop a few processes to work to improve our state required or state test that we're ultimately judged upon, which is the SAT. You see that the number of work-based learning students continues to climb. Second semester, you're going to see probably us go beyond 200 or 300 students. And it's a great opportunity for us. You see some upcoming events there. Our big one coming up Friday, there is a health fair that's going to go on in our commons area. We also have our blood drive, which is our second one of the year. And everybody's looking forward to it. Questions?
I have a couple questions. What's the status of the Coast Guard program becoming a pathway?
I think at this point, we do have a tremendous number of kids that are actually getting involved in that program. We still have an opportunity for them as a let one, and we continue to grow that program. I think within the next couple of years, I'm going to see that.
So we have to get the state approval for it to be a pathway program.
That is correct.
So are we making any effort to try to push that, or are we backing off that right now?
I wouldn't say that we're backing off. It's still in our plan to have. You know, we consider our purpose being career, military, college preparatory. So we're gonna continue to push forward with that. It would be nice if the state would recognize our OTC programs as a CIP program, but seem to want to shy away from that.
Regardless of whether the state actually approves it or not, if you were to go in and see those classes and
talk to
the students,
it's fantastic.
Some of those students are really looking forward to a career in the military, and it's really been a great project.
Yes.
A great stepping stone to do that.
Yes, no question. Next question. Are coaches teachers in Sussex Tech?
Are coaches teachers?
Teachers?
They can be.
No, but are they? In other words, generally speaking, to me, a coach is a role model, and they teach life skills, and they teach an AP course in their field, okay? We certainly have scrutiny over our teachers, which you alluded to. Do we have any scrutiny, any observation over coaches?
Yes, you have two opportunities, or a couple different opportunities to do that. Our athletic director goes to practices, meets with them on a regular basis. He actually evaluates them. At the end of the year, they have to get a satisfactory evaluation. He and I actually talked about some of that last night at our basketball game, because we were talking about our fall coaches and who was successful, did he have any issues with him, that kind of thing. And then when we're at games, like oftentimes you'll see if I'm attending an event, I'll be on the sideline. I'm there to support our kids, but ultimately there I'm also to watch the interactions between a coach. Our administrative team tends to go to at least one or two away games too as well, and to try to do that same aspect there. We're also there for if something goes wrong with one of our kids or our kids act out in a different way. But no, there's a lot of different opportunities. Yes.
Because again, there's a formal. It's my opinion. The coaches are teachers.
That's correct.
And whatever supervision or evaluation we do to our teachers in the classroom, we should do on the sporting field.
We're pretty fortunate here too, as well as a lot of our coaches also teach.
Yes.
Other schools are not as fortunate to have that. So when you have that's not the end and be all of coaching. However, when you have a coach who is a teacher, they're sort of like they want to maintain their status as a teacher, and they may want to maintain their status as a coach, and they know that their positive interactions with kids on the field help their positive interaction in the classroom setting.
As along those lines, you know, what I'm specifically saying is, do they have a practice plan for every single practice they go into? And do the assistant coaches know what that practice plan is?
I would say as a majority of our coaches would do that.
Because I tell you, a few years ago, my experience, when I suggested a practice plan, the other four or five coaches laughed at me and said, no, we haven't heard of a practice plan since Sam Williams was back in 1990. They do not have practice plans.
That wasn't this district, correct?
No, it was not this district.
No, I worked with Sam.
And I can tell you that our athletic director, Hugh, I've known him for years. He coached in Maryland, where I actually knew coach against him. Don't tell him that I was a better coach than him. He was actually a better coach than I was. But no, that's his expectation.
Okay. It's important, I think.
It is very important.
Yeah. And we're spending a lot of tax dollars for the athletic programs. And I want to be sure we're getting our bang. Okay. The next question. And I'm sorry to have these questions, but in the last Saturday, this week, or last weekend, Delaware State News had an article about, I think, Wicomico County having police at least three times a week to the school and taking students to the hospital. Had any experience like that? And are we doing anything, or can we do anything, to improve the civility of our students and our teachers? And along those lines, I'll say something else, but I'm not going to mention the district. But the district has a flow, okay, to where you're supposed to go one way, okay, students. And the comment was made by several students, not here, but that the students do not abide by that flow. And the teachers and administrators are afraid to enforce it because they'll be beaten up.
I would say that we're very fortunate that we don't have those issues here. Our building is structured that if you have a certain building that's designed a certain way, you might have a flow of students that you want to go in one direction. I've been in school in one way always.
Right.
Usually it's related to overcrowding, though, and not necessarily because of violence or physical attacks or that kind of thing. Here we're very, very fortunate so far. You know, knock on wood, I think we have a very strong staff. I think we have a very strong presence in the hallway. I think our teachers do. I think our constables do. This district, we got interviewed by WBOC earlier in the year, and I think this district has established itself as a controlled school and puts forth the effort to make sure that our students maintain that expectation of how they treat each other. So we're pretty fortunate.
And what's our policy with cell phones? Suits.
You're allowed to have your cell phone if a teacher tells you. Most of our teachers, when you walk in their classroom, are going to have this beautiful thing that hangs on a wall, and almost every kid, I wish they all did, but almost every kid puts it in there every single time, and then if we have an issue with it, they would let us know as an administrative staff, and we would deal with that. That's appropriate. So we actually created a cell phone policy and an earbud policy this year. So. Any other questions?
Back to the ROTC.
Yes, sir.
Are we meeting our obligation for students in that program?
Numbers.
Yes.
I believe so. I haven't gotten the latest number of enrollees, but I think the goal was that we had to be at 100 cadets within X number of years of starting the program. And we started out at, I want to say 80 at that point, and I think we were getting pretty close to the 100.
So already, I think it's a 4 or 5 years.
We were 80% to our number in the first year.
Yeah.
In the 4 year target. So we're on
good. Good.
So,
yeah.
You have two great adult staff members in there that really attract a lot of kids.
Thank you, Mr. Barter.
Thank you.
Information items. For the board, next Wednesday evening on the 20th is the Sussex Tech Adult Ed Health Professions graduation, 6:30 in the high school gymnasium. That's generating certainly some excitement. Also in the adult ed arena, where we've had a great deal of interest regarding the CDL program, and become knowledgeable about CDL A and B, and we're working with some folks to try to secure a second vehicle, truck, and also the ability for us to offer a CDL B course. We're full on CDL registrations until next September. Gives you an idea about demand. And if we're able to secure the second semi for the A group, and then also the trailering capabilities for the B group, CDLB, then that will be beneficial to landscapers. It'll be beneficial to sign folks. It'll be beneficial. So we're got our fingers crossed that we're going to be able to do that. We've submitted a proposal to our local legislators to try to get that accomplished. In your packet we had discussed last month the student account balances that are maintained within the high school office. You see student category 1 and the balances as of September 30th, and on the backside student category 2. This was the one on student category 1. And we'll have a recommendation today. If you look at dual enrollment, 117,211. We're looking at a way to demerge some of that and get those funds being able to be used for students in terms of their programs, possibly even with the adult ed classes, the additional adult ed classes, bridging classes that we've been talking about. I don't know that the money can transfer to the foundation. I'm going to talk about the foundation in a moment, because I believe they're two separate entities. The student account is held under the control of this Board of Education. There's a separate board for the foundation. I don't know that you can cross one into the other, but we're going to look at that. Speaking of units and numbers, Hatfield mentioned that our units went up. I think it was 3 over last year. And Mrs. Werthers could probably tell us about that. There's an interesting and not unexpected phenomenon going on. Enrollment in the state of Delaware for the number of students increased by 419 students statewide. Sounds kind of low to me, quite frankly, in terms of where we've been
in terms of new students coming into the district. The thing that's the eye-popper with this is that of the, and don't correlate the two, but so student population increased by 419. The number of units increased, number of units being teaching positions within the state of Delaware, increased by 336. And a significant reason for that is identification of students with mental health issues or needing special education. There were actually, I actually have colleagues who saw an enrollment decline, but an increase in the units. To think about that. And the challenge to that is that we already have a teacher shortage. There's over 400 unfilled teaching positions in the state of Delaware today, as we sit here. So a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, if we don't really start addressing, this is an editorial, if we don't start addressing the issue about building a teacher population within the Delaware, in Delaware to come to work, we're going to end up with more and more online classes being offered, monitored by paraprofessionals, and so on and so forth. We're fortunate in that we really have very, very little of that, but I think it's going to impact, I know it's already impacting the system within Delaware, and it's gotten the attention of the governor, and sure it's gotten the attention of the budget writers in terms of the impact on, and it will impact local budgets also, because if you're fortunate to find the teacher, then you have to find the local compensation that goes along with that. Appaquinimic's referendum failed yesterday. Yeah. I mean, when's the last time that those words have been said? And so it kind of gives you a pause about taking a look at some things. So I wanted to share that with you. We received distribution of the Juul. It's not a great sum of money. Remember the vaping lawsuit? We're going to get about $18,000. We've met with the health educators and other folks, and there's going to be a recommendation coming about ways in which those dollars could be spent in order to help our students in health-related conditions and matters. We think that's where it should be focused. There's also a lawsuit coming regarding an opioid addiction and against a company called McKinsey, and it'll be another one of those. Do all the districts go together and sign off, and at some point in time, something will show up, who knows, regarding that matter. We received the legislative priorities for the Delaware School Boards Association. And Rendell and Marcel could tell us about that. At your place were two brochures regarding our foundation. I say our foundation because it's been around for about 30 years. Gina worked... one of her responsibilities was to reinvigorate the foundation for Sussex Tech. We're part of, it's three of us, Polytech, Sussex Tech, Newcastle, are all part of the Vocational Technical Education Foundation of Delaware, and have been. And so we're going to reintroduce our staff to the fact that a foundation exists, and that there are categories within that already exist along the way. If folks wanted to make a donation to the school district, it comes through the foundation. We at one point in time, we had a payroll deduction plan for folks and all those things. So all of these things are going to surface again because it provides a revenue source for teams and clubs and programs, and a student needs some assistance with something along the way. The foundation is one source of place in which that could take place. There's a fundraising council. Everything is set up under the IRS standards and has been that way. So we're encouraged about what the foundation can mean. Be an opportunity for advisory committee members that want to get involved with the school and program. So that's for you to take a look at also. Barger mentioned the legislative breakfast.
Mr. Biddingham and I were able to attend representing the district. We shared with the Sussex County legislators issues regarding everything from Division II energy, Mrs. Hatfield, to extra time funding, cash inconsistency, school safety and security funding, minor cap, an issue called burden of proof legislation, that Delaware's in a unique group of small states that pertains to who has to prove that a fault was committed regarding a student, unfilled positions, and so on and so forth. I thought it was a productive meeting. The legislators appreciated that involvement. And we had we wanted to recognize three of our students, 2023 Sussex County Conservation Poster Contest winners, Rebecca Cullen, Kira Dahl, County Weston, first, second, and third place in grades 10 through 12 in digital production. So we swept the podium from that perspective, so that's a good thing. And other big news that happened, I want to say last week, the long-awaited band uniforms have arrived, finally. Spadden was extremely excited that the band uniforms have, and she's been participating in parades and programs, a degree of success with that also. It's a great activity for our students. Mr. Athey's been working hard on getting the wrapping correct on the new truck, and so that's moving along also. But there's a lot of excitement. Mr. Bogger mentioned the performing arts with the drama program. The students worked really, really hard. The whole support was great. It truly was standing room only both nights. So it was a nice event. There was a comment made on the night that I was there, how far away are we from an auditorium so we don't have to do that? You know, they appreciate the Commons as a quaint setting, but you know, the idea of an auditorium coming around the corner is extremely exciting to performing arts, parents, and students. That's, there's an appreciation there. That's all I have for you, sir.
Thank you.
We had a discussion, you know, we decided on new pathways about whether we have a teaching pathway. And do we? No. And would that in any way improve maybe future teachers coming to Sussex County because they stay local?
I would give a comment and defer to Dr. Donovan and the work to Mr. Bogger. We have our early childhood education program is student organization called Educators Rising for students who have an interest in going through those directions. And then thanks to Delaware Tech, a bachelor's degree in elementary education has been introduced by our community college to offer a bachelor's degree in elementary education, which is great. But, you know, we're sitting at the other end on the vocational side saying, you know, what about secondary? And we put that on the table. If you're going to go elementary, then let's go middle, let's go secondary, and we'll come over to Georgetown and go to school. It's not a problem. We think that's a great, you know, a great issue. I think
that'd be a dual learning?
It's a state question.
Right.
You know, in terms of you know, training for teachers and programs, career opportunities. Could it be dual enrollment? Sure. So I'll defer to you others.
29 students graduated from Del Tech in the first cohort of teachers for your program this year. 4 or 5 of them are Sussex Tech grads. We're represented more than any other high school in the state.
Good.
So, and that's from our early childhood program. That gets so right now we're
doing
contributing more than any.
And that's elementary school teachers?
Yes.
Program
that's
we
all
have
I have right now. That's all I have.
Program we have, as you mentioned, speech therapy.
if there's a shift in that in secondary, then we shift as well, because our goal is to really prepare them for the future. That's on my own time, evaluating for the future.
And along those same lines is what can we do to improve the diversity of our teachers? I have not looked at it myself, you know, specifically how many, what kind of breakdown we have, male, female.
It's interesting, Dr. Mastin, because just as there's a shortage of educators, there's a shortage of skilled professionals in multiple fields and multiple opportunities. And everybody, you know, wants to have diversity and equity in the program. The question is, will you choose education as a program, any student? Will you choose it as a career? Do you have the passion to be an educator? And that's different than a book. And to continue forward along the way. But applicant pools are applicant pools. And so I think it's the work that needs to be done before that about education as a profession, before I think it will come along naturally in the form of diversity if we attack the problem of education being, you know, the fourth professional choice. It's probably a bad statement, but I mean, point is that finding that person who really wants to be an educator and really wants to be a teacher and work with young people is a defining philosophy, I think, that you have to have in order to be able to go forward. We found some good people from business and industry and others who, in my opinion, they're rare. We've been able to find some good people from that regard. We're willing to talk to anyone who wants to talk about school and kids and programs, regardless of where they've been or matching up. So it's an issue. Anything else? That's all I have, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Carson. Thank you to everyone for the individual reports. Next, we'll move to board reports. Ms. Jones, you have anything?
No. We meet again February 7th, but we have a board meeting that night, so I will not be able to attend.
Next, we'll go to public participation. Do we have anyone before I read this long paragraph? Thank you for offering, Mr. Brigham. Next, we'll move to agenda action items. I need a motion for the approval of personnel action items and administrator contract recommendations.
So moved, Bill Canoodle.
Seconded, L. Jones.
Motion made by Mr. Canoodle, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Comments?
Well, as modified, sorry.
Thank you.
Yes, the administrative contract recommendations as modified.
Okay. All in favor?
Sorry.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of the monthly financials for November 30th, 2023, and the ESSER summary.
So moved, Dr. Mastin.
Motion made by Dr. Mastin, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of FY24 final budget.
So moved.
Second, Dr. Mastin.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Dr. Mastin. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of the FY24 adult education final budget.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Wise, seconded by Mr. Canoodle. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of the district purchase orders and vouchers.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Dr. Mastin. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Is there any unfinished business or new business? Hearing none, our next board meeting is Wednesday, January 10th, 2024. And we have a board work session on January 24th, 2024 at 4 p.m. I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Cadell Jones.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Jones, seconded by Mr. Canoodle. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Meeting's adjourned. Merry Christmas,
everyone. Merry Christmas, all.
Merry Christmas.